Good morning, Life Point. Hope everyone is doing well. To kick this thing off, I have a question for you. And it's a question that I pretty much know the answer of. Those are the kind of questions I typically like to ask. But I want to ask it anyways. How many of you all this morning, at some point in time over the past 6 months, have been either had just small feelings of fear, or maybe you've even been absolutely consumed with feelings of fear? How many of y'all have struggled with that? Again, even if it's on a minor level, right? I think it's safe to say that in 2020, like every single one of us have experienced fear. And not only just in 2020, just in general. Fear is something that is kind of natural within us, but it is incredibly disruptive and toxic. We talked in a message probably about a couple of months ago about fear when we did the message series, All the Lies. We had one message on fear and that, and I went a little more into detail about what fear does to the brain and to our actual bodies. But today, I want us to look at fear just from maybe a different perspective, from a different angle. Because if you've been to Life Point Church for any length of time, you know that I'm incredibly honest. I'm upfront. I share my struggles with you guys. And fear has been something that has plagued me personally for like my entire life. And when we talk about fear today and throughout this series, we're not talking about like the Halloween jump scare, right? I mean, it's October and, you know, people go to haunted houses or watch scary movies. We're not talking about the jump scare. We're not talking about like, you know, you're walking down the road, you know, totally texting, engrossed in your phone or whatever it is, and someone comes around the corner and, you know, startles you. We're not talking about that. We're talking about like real, genuine fear. Like for me growing up, I was afraid of everything. On our prayer night online Thursday, I talked about, you know, when I would take the trash out at night when I was a kid, you know, it was right under the streetlight. So it should have been, a layup. It should have been easy. And I would walk it down there all brave. But as soon as I turned my back to the street, for whatever reason, man, that fear started creeping up. And boy, I would jet to the porch. You know, I'd be 10, 15 feet away and would somehow make it up onto the porch with no steps, you know. Or, you know, even more intense, though, I was afraid that something bad was going to happen to my parents, like all the time. I was just terrified of something negative happen. When I was a teenager, I had like this very unhealthy fear of God, fear of screwing up, fear of sinning that was really toxic, to be honest. It wasn't like the healthy fear. It wasn't good. And as I've gotten older, that's kind of more translated into fear of failure, fear of not measuring up, fear of not winning. And it can be all consuming. And for me, it's something that I have to keep front and center of my life and of my heart, and that I have to take to God daily because it's a struggle. And whether or not that's how you are, I know some of you in here, I know you're like that, but maybe that's not you. But again, in our current culture and climate, and in our society, we are constantly hit with fear. It's like rooted in fear of the unknown, fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of being alone, fear of financial loss, fear of losing a loved one. Fear of, again, like I said, not being good enough, not measuring up. Fear of not knowing enough. Maybe it's fear of being exposed. Fear of not getting it right spiritually and relationally with Jesus. We have all kinds of fears that can consume us. More specifically, here in 2020, I mean, we have the fear of the fact that we're kind of living in a global pandemic. Right? Like, that's not comfortable. That's sketchy. I mean, but not only is it bad enough that we have this pandemic, but we also have the fear of people talking, well, is the virus real or is it fake? Is it planned Are they trying to control and manipulate us, or is it a real thing? Is it a result of 5G towers? How many of you have heard that one, right? Again, I'm not getting into all that. I'm just saying that's the things that we're confronted with as it relates to this virus. Fears of seeing the numbers all the time, going up and down. Is it getting worse? Is it getting worse? Where's the vaccine? Is the vaccine, it's not coming fast enough. Or some people are like, well, the vaccine's being rushed in it. It might actually make things worse. It's just consumed with fear, right? We have fear of our financial fears right now. The economy collapsed. It crashed. The market went haywire, and it's kind of up and down. It's rebounding, but a lot of people haven't been able to work. People are struggling financially. It's brought upon us that fear. Now we have the fear of the coming election. Everyone has a fear of who's going to win, who's not going to win, whichever side you're in. Again, I don't get into that up here. I'm not going to talk about it, but I'm just saying it's a fear that we have. People worry about our government. Are they honest or are they not? Are they controlling us? Are they corrupt? There's just constant fear. Are we being lied to? We have the fear of the fact that we're continuing to deal with racism, violence, injustice, fear of change, fear of things never changing. I have a friend that I spoke with a few months ago, and she was just heartbroken because as a black woman with a black family, she was terrified for her husband to leave the house, for her kids to go out and play. And it was a genuine fear, and it broke my heart. But fear is all around us. And here in 2020 specifically, it's very, very easy for us to fall into that trap and begin to spiral out of control in fear, which I've said in past messages is not good for our physical, mental, emotional, and our spiritual lives. You see, God didn't design us, and he doesn't want and didn't intend us to live lives of fear. It's not how he wants us to live. He wants us to experience freedom and love so that we can go and share that with other people. But when we're consumed with fear, we're no good to anybody. And the truth is that we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live that way. And so with all that being said, we're kicking off this new series, and it's called No Fear. How many of y'all remember like the old clothing line, No Fear, back in the day? Some of y'all back there? Yeah, I had a couple No Fear shirts. I thought I was tough. Little did I know that I was, 14, 6 foot tall and like 120-pound like tree limb. But boy, I thought I was tough when I had that shirt on. Right? But this concept of living with no fear. No fear. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be exploring God's word to see exactly what he says about fear. What he has to say about it. Not what culture has to say. Not what society says. Not what the news says. Not even what you tell yourself. But what God has to say about fear. And how we're going to go about moving from living lives of fear to a life of no fear. Because you see, God already knew that this would be a struggle for us. He is well aware of the fact that in this fallen world, that there are actually plenty of things for us to be afraid of. There's plenty of things that instill and strike fear into us. And that's exactly why one of the most frequently, the most common commands throughout all of Scripture is don't be afraid. It's like one of the most common commands. That's for a reason, because God knew we needed that. That's why the words fear not are in the Bible like 365 times. It's scattered all throughout God's word. He's encouraging us. He's telling us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. Yet we still walk around in fear. Again, as someone who struggles with fear, I have some of my favorite passages of scripture that I like to go back to that I have to remind myself of and allow God to speak truth over my life through them. One is Psalms 34:4. It says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all of my fears. Psalms 56:3, when I am afraid, David said, I put my trust in you. Isaiah 41:10, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my victorious, my righteous right hand. And then one of the most known verses of Psalms 23:4 is, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to live in fear. And probably my favorite verse on fear, and it's going to be our key verse throughout this series, is 2 Timothy 1:7. Where Paul writes this, he says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. You see, God has not given you a spirit of fear. He hasn't. He's given you a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, of self-discipline. That's what God gives you. So in this series, we need to look and figure out how do we move from living in a spirit of fear, which we know is not from God, to living in the spirit of God, which brings power, love, self-discipline. And so what we're going to do throughout this series, more specifically, is we're going to look at four different examples, four individuals or groups of individuals who had the opportunity to let fear take over. Right? To consume them. Like legit situations where they could have been afraid. And some of them were afraid. But we're going to watch how God removes that fear. Eliminates it. He crushes it. So that they can then move forward with power and love and a sound mind. Again, with everything that's taken place in 2020, we've got to focus on this. I've talked to too many people and have heard too many people. I've seen too many posts on social media and Facebook about people just straight up living in fear. And so to start this series, the best thing that I felt like would kick this off in spending some time in prayer and seeking God and something that I think would encourage you is that I want to help us to learn how we can have no fear in the storm. No fear in the storm. It's funny, as I was working on this, I was reminded that this has kind of been a mantra of mine since high school. When I was the valedictorian of my senior class, which it's not really impressive. There was like 15 people in it or something. But nonetheless, I was valedictorian. I had to give my speech, right? And I talked about storms. I wanted to encourage my class as they moved into the real world. And I had no clue what I was talking about really at the time. It seemed to make sense because I had the storm of, you know, I broke my leg my senior year in football and woe is me and I didn't get to do all those things. But when I look back on that speech, man, like I'm glad I shared that because I needed to hear that in the years to come. And I use this passage of scripture that we're going to look at today. We need to learn to live with no fear in the storm. And it's something that we cannot do on our own. So we're going to be reading in the book of Mark, chapter 4, where we find Jesus and his disciples out on a boat, right, in the middle of the water, and then out of nowhere, this huge, violent, massive storm pops up. And we're going to see how the disciples respond, and we're going to see how Jesus responds, right? But before we get into that, I want to give you a little bit of background of kind of what's taking place. I said we're in Mark 4, of what's taking place kind of in the first four chapters in the book of Mark. And if you're not familiar, we see really Jesus comes onto the scene, right? He comes bursting onto the scene. He begins his earthly ministry. He chooses his disciples, and then they get to work, right? He begins to mentor these disciples. He speaks life into them. He's discipling them. He's doing life with them. And then they go and he begins to teach these beautiful parables to people. And then he kind of goes off to the side and then he helps break them down a little more to the disciples so that they better understand him. So he's teaching the masses, but he's also teaching them in a very intimate way. During this time, he's performing all these miracles, right? He's healing people, just miraculously healing people right in the moment from sick or from withered hands. And he's just, these beautiful miracles are taking place, all right? He's healing people. He's casting out evil spirits. All this is taking place. And then we're going to pick up here in chapter 4, Mark, verse 35. And we see this. It says, as evening came, and he had been spending the day teaching, right, teaching the disciples and other people. It says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat, and they started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. So there's all these crowds on the shore. They get in the boat and they take off. Some others, you know, kind of come with them. And things are smooth to this point, right? They're just crossing the lake. No biggie. That's when things take an unexpected turn for the worst. So let's keep reading. Verse 37. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion, which I love. I don't know why, but it always sticks out to me that his head was on a cushion. Not only was he snoozing in the back, but his head's on a cushion. I just love that. Anyways, so Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion, and the disciples woke him up shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? See, this storm hit, and I don't know if you've ever been out on a boat in the middle of the ocean in a gigantic storm. It's terrifying. We were on a cruise ship and it was terrifying. I can't imagine the boat that they were on. Not cool at all. But they were terrified, right? And so they go to Jesus and they're like, do you not even care that we're drowning? They were consumed with fear. A natural response. But they were consumed with fear. Verse 39, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Jesus put an end to the storm. Put an end to the storm. Verse 40, then he says this. I'm sure this was not what the disciples wanted to hear. Then he asked the disciples, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? After all that we've done together, after all that you've seen, all that I've taught, you still have no faith? They were consumed with fear. And again, this account is of the disciples facing an actual physical weather-related storm, right? But as we read this, we think about our lives, and God is speaking into this, into the storms that we face in our life. Storms that maybe you've been in the past that still have a grip on you. Storms that maybe are kind of coming your way, you can kind of feel it, right? It's like when the temperature changes real quick and you kind of see the underbelly of the leaves turning, you know something's happening. Storm's coming. Or maybe you're smack dab right in the middle of a storm right now. You're overwhelmed. You feel like you're drowning. There are so many truths that we can pull out of this beautiful passage. Things that we can begin to do today. Truths that we can embrace to begin to move from a spirit of fear to the spirit of God, which leads to no fear. Power, love, self-discipline. Again, fear is a natural response for us. I don't want you to feel guilty. I don't want to see you like to walk around like you're Iron Man or woman or whatever. But there's some things that we need to do when that fear comes our way. That we can push it aside and we can move forward. So the question is then how do we move from a state of fear to the state of no fear, right? How do we do that? And so what I want to do is I want to share three things real quick that we see in this chapter, or in chapter 4, in this passage that we just read, that again, that we can embrace to move us to having no fear in the storm. And the first thing that I want you to remember, and things I want you to focus in on, is that in the middle of the storm, right, when you're in the middle of the storm in your life that will come, you simply need to be honest with Jesus, right? You have to be honest with Jesus. See, a lot of times, especially, I mean, I've grown up in the church, especially in the church, we put on these masks. We like to act like we've got it all together. We like to act like we have no problems, no fears. You know, we used all the good Christian rhetoric of, you know, glory to God and he's got my back and this and this and that. But really, inside, it's a different story. You see, we've got to be honest with ourselves about the fear that we're facing. But most importantly, we have to be honest with God. And sometimes I think people are afraid to be honest with God because, you know, we feel like maybe we're going to expose ourselves and he's going to know this and that. I mean, newsflash, he knows it. He knows how you feel. He knows what you're afraid of. And he's waiting for you to bring that to him. Because until you do that, you're never going to be able to release it. And you're never going to be able to receive healing. So we have to be honest with God about our fear. Verse 37, again, says, but soon this fierce storm came up, high waves were breaking on the boat, and it began to fill with water. And then check this out. Jesus was asleep at the back of the boat, right? Head on a cushion. We love it. And the disciples woke him up shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? Like, that is honest. They could have woken up Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, like, it's getting a little rough out here. Like, you going to do something? But they were sharing their heart. They were questioning Jesus. They were doubting that he was going to keep them safe. They doubted that he even cared about them. So they told him. They were open and honest with Jesus about their fear. Some of you are afraid to be honest with Jesus about what you're afraid about. That's a whole other mess, right? But the reality is we can be honest with Jesus. He wants us to be honest with him. That's when your relationship with him goes to the next level. In fact, that's actually when it's a real relationship. If you can't be honest with your spouse today, you don't have a real strong relationship. Just be honest. We have to be honest with Jesus. And again, I know a lot of us, we like to carry it all. We like to think that we're good enough to carry it all, that we got what it takes, right? We're strong. We got this. But in the meantime, we're ignoring our fear. It's there. It's not going anywhere. And it's going to stay there until we deal with it. Some of us, our fears are so deep-rooted, we don't even realize they're fears anymore. Yet, they are holding us back in ways that you cannot even comprehend. We need to dig those out, right? We need to dig down to those fears. We need to be honest with them. Some of us, our lives are just so chaotic, we're just afraid of everything. We're like, I don't even know where to start. I'm going to spend a lot of time with Jesus telling them all these things. Man, do it. Baby step, right? Take that first one that comes to mind, that one that's crippling you the most, just take it to Jesus. We have to be honest with Jesus about our fears. That's what the disciples did. And I think it had a pretty good result, right? Not too shabby. Pretty good result, right? So the second thing we see is that once we're honest with Jesus, next thing you need to do is, this is a tough one, right? You got to let Jesus calm the storm. You got to let God do what God does. Again, I've seen it so often in the church, and again, I'll say it, I've seen it in my own life, where we say, you know what, God, I'm going to lay this before you, I'm going to leave this at your feet, now I'm going to tell you how to deal with it. You need to do this, this, and this, and then this. If not this, do this. Jesus doesn't work that way. We don't want him to work that way. Trust me. God's ways are higher than ours. His thoughts far beyond ours. And we want him to be God. We've got to step back and let Jesus calm the storm. When Jesus woke up, verse 39, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." And then suddenly, the wind stopped. And listen, there was a great calm. How many of you here in person or online, if you're online, throw an emoji up or a comment or whatever, but how many of you would love to be able to describe your day even as calm? A great calm. How many of you would like for your spirit to be calm? Right. A lot of heads nodding. But that's what happens when we let Jesus calm the storm. See, what's the point of being honest with him and telling him about what our fears are if we're not going to let him calm them? You see, and the thing is with Jesus is he's going to operate on his timing and again in his ways. And that's exactly what we want. It may not feel like it, but ultimately that's what you're going to want. Because the reality is Jesus could calm the storm in your life, whatever it may be, just like he did this storm, physical storm. It could be like that. Miraculous healing, that fear could be removed. He can do that. And he will do that at times. And that's really honestly what we all want. But sometimes what Jesus does is he says, "Hey, I'm going to need you to take this step. Then I'm going to need you to take this step. And then this step." And then over time, he calms the storm. Sometimes he's going to bring somebody into your life that's going to help you walk through this storm because you can't do it on your own. And he knows how you're wired because he created you. And he's going to say, "I know the perfect thing to help you walk through this storm. The perfect thing to calm this storm for you is this person right here." Sometimes he's going to speak comfort and grace and love over our spirits, over our souls as we navigate the storm. But the thing about this is we have to let him calm the storm. We can't control the process. We have to let him do it. Our responsibility in that is being obedient to what he speaks to us and what he shows us and how he's calming this storm, right? So we are going to be honest with Jesus, right, about our fear. We're going to let him do what he does. We're going to let him calm the storm the way he wants to do it. And then finally, and maybe the most important thing that we pull from this, as we navigate these violent and tumultuous storms in our life, is understanding that faith in Jesus is the only remedy for fear in the storm. That's it. Period. The end. I could have just said that and walked away, and y'all probably would have been like, "That's great." A lot less long-winded, right? But think about this. Faith in Jesus is the only remedy for fear in the storm. Verse 40, then Jesus asked them, "Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Implying that if they truly had faith in that moment, they wouldn't have been afraid. They would have had no fear in that situation if they had faith. And what's crazy to me and oddly comforting is the fact that he's saying this to the disciples, right? To the ones that witnessed him perform miracles, who witnessed him heal people, who were there in his presence when he cast out evil spirits, who sat directly under his teaching. Yet when the storm hit, right? When that storm popped them in the mouth, they were scrambling. They were full of fear. Right? They had this moment of just, they lost faith in Jesus in that moment, to be honest. They were thinking, "I'm on the boat, Jesus is back there asleep, and he doesn't care, and we're all going to drown. We're going to die. Woe is me." I heard a pastor once say that fear is placing faith in the what ifs. And that's exactly what they did. They shifted their faith from Jesus to the what if we drowned? What if we sink? Going down with the ship. But true faith in Jesus will remedy fear, especially fear in the storm. And it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a grind, and it's going to be a challenge. LifePoint Church, I wish things were different. I really do. I wish that we didn't have to face these difficult things in our lives, that we didn't have hurt, right? That we didn't face these terrifying, gut-wrenching events in life, things that have happened to you, things that have happened to the people you love. I hate that that's the case. I hate that we have to walk through storms. But again, the reality is, in this fallen world, you will face storms. If you're not in one right now, you're going to face one in the future. The question is how will you face it? Will you face it consumed with the spirit of fear? Or will you face it with the Spirit of God living in and through you, giving you power, wisdom, love, a sound mind, comfort, joy, and peace? That is the only way that we can move in the direction of no fear. And we can. Again, maybe not overnight, but we need to take those next steps and the next step. And we're obedient to what Jesus and where he's leading us and how he's doing it. LifePoint, he loves you so much. Despite everything that might be going on around you or what's going on in your life and things you watch on the news, one thing I'm positive, sure of, is that God is madly in love with you and wants nothing more than to be in a relationship with you. And he wants to bring peace and calm to the storms in your life. And the beautiful thing is, as we move in that direction, then we can bring someone else along with us. We can begin to help other people who are struggling in the storm, and we can introduce them to Jesus. So if you're currently in the middle of a storm right now, I want to encourage you to be honest with Jesus. He can handle it. He's waiting for you to be honest with him. Be honest with yourself and be honest with Jesus. And then let him bring calm. Let him do what he does. Quit trying to dictate it. Let him do the work in your life. And while you're in it, just remember to keep your eyes fixed on him. Don't place your faith in the what ifs. Place your faith in Jesus and Jesus alone, because that is the only remedy for fear when you're going through the storm. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so, so much for loving us. We thank you for dying for us, Lord. We thank you for the fact that you do bring peace and calm to our storms. God, we thank you that you love us, that we can even speak your name, Lord. So God, as we are in this time in the spirit of prayer, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you would just speak truth to each and every person that's here and each and every person that's listening online, God, that you would reveal to them exactly what it is they need to hear this morning, whether it has anything to do with anything that I've said this morning. God, I pray that you would speak truth to those who are listening. And God, and may we be bold enough, honest enough, sincere enough. May our hearts be soft enough to actually do what it is that you're leading us to do, to make the changes we need to make, God. Lord, we thank you for always being willing to work in our lives and move in our lives, changing us to be more and more like you. as we continue in the spirit of prayer this morning, maybe you're here or you're watching online and you've never come into a personal relationship with Jesus. If that's you this morning, you are in the perfect spot because I'm here to tell you that he loves you. And I know I've said that, and I'm going to say it again and again and again. He loves you, and he wants to be in relationship with you. He loves you so much, in fact, that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you, to take on your guilt, your sin, and your shame, so that you could be made right before the Father. That's how much he loved you. And then he rose victoriously, defeating death, hell, and the grave. And he did all that for you, so that you could be forgiven, you could be made whole again, so that you could come to live with him for all eternity. Scripture says in Romans 10, 9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, that you'll be saved. And I'm here to tell you this morning that it's about a relationship with Jesus. Confessing and believing. Not necessarily about your words that you say, you spout off, but it's about your heart connecting with his. Believing that he is who he says he is and that you are flawed and in need of a Savior. So if that's you this morning, you're ready to step over that line of faith, just confess and believe. Just confess and believe. Speak to him as he leads. If you have questions about that, I would love to talk to you. If you're here or if you're online, leave us a comment or a direct message. We'll get back with you. But he wants to be and longs to be in a relationship with you. But maybe you're here this morning and you are a Christ follower and you are just utterly just a wreck with fear right now. Everything that's been going on, you just don't know where to turn. I want to remind you to turn to Jesus. Just turn to Jesus. Be honest with him. Let him bring healing to the storm and keep your eyes and your faith fixed in on him. He's got you. He's got you. Lord, again, we thank you for your love, your truth, your mercy. God, I pray in this moment that you would continue to speak to hearts and maybe we be responsive to you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for the opportunity to speak directly to you, to be in a beautiful community where we can encourage one another and take your truth to the ends of the world, Father. We love you, and in your name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you all so much for being here with us for LifePoint Online. If this is your first time here with us, man, thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us today. If you'd like more information about LifePoint Church, you can go ahead and drop a comment below, or you can send us a direct message on any of our social media platforms, or head over to our website. But someone from our team will get back with you as soon as possible and answer whatever question that you may have. Also, if you want to continue to worship with your tithes and your offerings, or if you just want to give to LifePoint Church, again, you can go over to our website. It's lpc502.com. In the top right-hand corner is an online giving button. If you click it, it takes you to a safe and secure place where you can give. Also, you can go begin to text to give by texting 84321. Text the amount that you want to give. If it's the first time, there'll be a small setup that you'll have to go through, but after that, you'll just be able to text the amount, and you'll be good to go. But however you choose to give, man, we are so thankful that you're on mission and that you're giving back just a portion of what God has blessed you with. Then again, thank you all so much for being with us today. We love you. We hope to see you throughout the week online, and we will definitely see you next Sunday. Love you guys. Have a great week.